we want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Oh, good day, Brevard County. Thank you for tuning in to the Refresh Radio program. My name is Bob Arthurs. I'm going to be spending the next half hour with you, and we are looking forward to what God is going to do as He develops us into being the patient children of God that He wants us to be. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, and we're using the word patient for that. And so today we are going to be going to Nehemiah, and I was just sitting here talking with Paul beforehand and doing old pastor humor or children's church humor, and said I used to think Nehemiah was the shortest guy in the Bible, if you pronounce it Nehemiah, until I found out there was a guy by the name of Bildad the Shuhite. And he's laughing again back there in the back. So pastor humor never gets good. You need fresh material every now and then. And so my congregation, they've heard all of my jokes by now, and they can tell them better than I can. And so every once in a while, I got to pop one out that people haven't heard. And they, in all honesty, nobody ever laughs at my jokes. And when we had our 20th anniversary at the church, they passed around a card. And the number one comment that I got in the card was how much they enjoyed my jokes. And I said, I am thoroughly confused because nobody ever laughs at them. But anyway, today we're going to go into Nehemiah as we talk about the God of patience and what He wants to work in our life. And we talked about the nature of God yesterday. Today, let's look a little bit more at that. Let's begin reading in verse number 28, Nehemiah chapter 9, verse number 28. It is in the Old Testament, Ezra, Nehemiah, Esther, Job, Psalms. If that helps you with your Bible book, where to find it, Nehemiah chapter 9, verse number 28. But after they had rest, they again did evil before you. Therefore you left them in the hand of their enemies so that they had dominion over them. Yet when they returned and cried out to you, you heard from heaven, and many times you delivered them according to your mercies, and testified against them that you might bring them back to your law. Yet they acted proudly and did not heed your commandments, but sinned against your judgments, which if a man does, he shall live by them. And they shrugged their shoulders, stiffened their necks, and would not hear. Yet for many years you had patience with them and testified against them by your spirits and your prophets, yet they would not listen. Therefore you gave them into the hand of the peoples of the land. Nevertheless, in your great mercy, you did not utterly consume them nor forsake them, for you are God, gracious and merciful. So what we have here is the covenant people of God who found themselves in a position where they were without oppression, and they would turn their back on God. They would pursue idols in the land. They would pursue different gods or no God whatsoever. They would backslide. They would end up being removed from the land or brought into subjection to a foreign king. And then they would cry out to God, and God in His great mercy would deliver them. And it says, they shrugged their shoulders and they stiffened their necks and would not hear. You know, I'm willing to talk to people a long, long time. I'm willing to listen to people. I'm willing to have a dialogue with people. But when you have reached a place where you refuse to listen, then I realize at that point in time that there's getting ready to be a dynamic change in the relationship. I've seen it over and over and over again. Jacob, it said that he noticed that Laban's countenance had changed. He noticed that Laban's sons talked about him in a negative manner. He realized that there was not the unity and the harmony in that relationship that there should have been between a father-in-law and a son-in-law. After all, you would think that Laban would want the best for his daughters, but that really wasn't the case. And so the same goes true for God. Whenever we position ourselves to where we refuse to listen to God's voice, when we refuse to do life according to his word, then we find ourselves in a position where God is not fighting for us. He's just kind of standing there watching us saying, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? And it said, yet for many years you had patience with them. Think about that. It said for many years that God was patient. And that word patience in this verse means to forbear or to delay. It is a term that many time creditors use where they will say, okay, we realize that you have fallen upon difficult times and we are not canceling the debt that you owe, but we are going to place it in a condition known as forbearance, where we're just not going to place a demand upon it at this time. We're going to work to see if we can get this crisis resolved, and then we will deal with this issue at a later time. It's a delaying in the process. And God said that in the midst of all of the rebellion, that he showed them great forbearance and patience. And it said he sent prophets that prophesied by the Spirit of God, and they wouldn't listen to them either. Isn't it interesting that people who refuse to listen say, well, if we just had a different messenger? But every time they got a different messenger, they didn't listen to them either. See, it is not always the messenger. The children of Israel coming out of Egypt, they thought that the problem was with Moses. And so they complained and murmured against him, and they wanted to appoint new leadership to take them right back to where they had come from before. Can I tell you, God's not interested in taking you back where you were. He's interested in taking you to places you've never been. He's interested in breaking new spiritual ground in your life, new ground in wisdom, new ground in winning souls, new ground in his word. You know, there are certain things we need to be reminded of, but in that reminding, we're also supposed to realize that God is infinitely more than we've ever experienced thus far. And so they complained about Moses, and then a deliverer would rise up and they would listen to them. And I want to bring it all the way up to the New Testament, where Jesus said, my prophets you have killed. You refused to listen to them. I think specifically about Jeremiah, where people came to him and said, we need to hear from God, and so go and tell us. And whatever God tells you to do, that's what we're going to do. If we like it, we're going to do it. If we don't like it, we're going to do it. We will do whatever God tells you to do, until Jeremiah came back and gave them the answer they didn't want to hear. And they said, God didn't tell you to say that, and we're not going to do that. Isn't it interesting that the only time that we think that we've heard from God is when God's Spirit sounds just like ours? Well, Jeremiah told him, he said, you made a huge mistake. You told me to go and find out what God had to say, and now I've come back and reported it to you, and now this is what you're going to do, and I've got news for you. It's not going to work out the way that you think it's going to work out. It only works out well for us when we do things that God tells us to do. We get to the New Testament, and there's an interesting statement in the dialogue between the rich man that had died and Abraham, as Lazarus was there in Abraham's bosom. And it said the rich man wanted Lazarus to come and, you know, t- touch his tongue with just one drop of water. And he said, no, can't do that. The gap is too far between us, and we can't get to you from here, and you can't get to us from there. And he said, well, would you send him back to my brothers and tell them, because I don't want them to end up in the same place that I am. You see, folks, I want you to know that hell is a very real place. And the people who are there are not having a wonderful party the way that the world thinks that is going on. They're not enjoying it. There is nothing glorious about it. They are extremely motivated so that you and I do not end up there. And Abraham's response, Jesus said, was this: if they do not hear the word that has already been sent to them, if they do not listen to the law and the prophets, they will not listen even if one were to go back to them raised from the dead. And that is true, because Jesus has been raised from the dead, and our world as a whole doesn't want to listen to the wisdom that God has for us. They don't want to hear that repentance and placing your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ is the only way by which men can be saved. See, we still have the same problem. We don't like to listen. And it said there is captivity that awaits people who refuse to listen to God. But Nehemiah says this: nevertheless, in your great mercy, you did not utterly consume them nor forsake them, for you are God, gracious and merciful. Aren't you thankful that God is patient with you and he's patient with me? I'm extremely thankful for that. He is very patient with us, and he sends us messengers. He sends us co-laborers to help get us onto the right track. Now, turn over to Psalm 37. We're going to talk about another aspect. Psalm 37 and verse number 1. This is the Psalm of David. Do not fret because of evildoers, nor be envious of the workers of iniquity, for they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and feed on his faithfulness. I absolutely love that verse. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. I love that verse. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. I love that verse. He shall bring forth your righteousness as the light and your justice as the noonday. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Do not fret because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man who brings wicked schemes to pass. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Do not fret. It only causes harm. There is an admonition to not fret at least three times in there. Verse number 8, verse number 7, and verse number 1. I think God might be trying to tell us that we don't need to worry about it. There are certain things you don't need to worry about. You don't need to worry because of evildoers. You do not need to fret because somebody is prospering in his way instead of in God's way. And you don't need to fret because it only causes you harm. Worry is not the solution. I wish that I could communicate this in a way that it would be able to get through. Worrying is a waste of time. Worrying is destructive, not constructive. Worrying focuses on the problem instead of on the problem solver. And so whatever you do, let's go back to the fruit of the Spirit is peace. We're talking about the fruit of the Spirit is long-suffering or patience right now. Whatever you do, don't get your eyes on the wrong person or the wrong thing, because it is going to cause distress in your life. When you and I are patiently enduring the situation, when we are manifesting patience, it is because we have fixated ourselves on the problem solver. In all honesty, I looked up the meaning of this word, and I came away from it, and I didn't have any better understanding of it after I looked up the definition than I did before. And so I had to go and look at other translations and see how it had been translated. And I want to read to you what it talks about here in verse number 7, where it says, "Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him." It says, "Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him." Now the Amplified says this, "Wait patiently for and lean upon him." Wait patiently for and lean upon him. Every one of us have an inclination. It means inclined towards. Very rarely will you see a tree that grows absolutely vertical. If it does, it had help. Most trees have an incline either to the north, the south, the east, or the west. If you drive around Brevard County now, you'll see a lot of trees have inclinations. They are leaning more towards the west in our part of town, because the winds came and blew those trees that direction. Now, left to their own devices, many of those trees would still be able to tap into nutrition, and they would just continue to grow in that incline. They'd grow towards that. They would be predisposed to go towards that. That's what happens many times in people's lives, is a traumatic event comes, and it knocks them around a little bit. It gets them going in a direction or growing in a direction that they hadn't grown before. It didn't destroy them, but it caused an inclination. The Bible talks about that for the ungodly, every inclination of their heart is against God. It is not inclined towards him. We need God to come and reposition us. We need a spiritual adjustment so that we are inclined towards God instead of against him. And so what I have seen with some of the landscaping around is there are people who came who are greater tree experts than I am. Can I make a confession? I watched one guy one day that was working on this tree that had been blown over by wind. Not a particularly tall tree, not a particularly old tree. It had been in the ground for probably 3 or 4 or 5 years. And I watched as this very tall, strong man tried to push that tree back up. And I will tell you that he couldn't do it. It didn't even budge. But he did some trimming on it, and he came along and he managed to get it back up to vertical, and he braced it and he supported it so that it could reestablish itself in growing the way that it was supposed to grow. And so we need God to work in us so that we are inclined to wait upon God instead of running away from him. We need to be resting upon him or leaning upon him. We need to cast all of our cares upon him because he cares for us. So this is something that happens whenever we say, you know what, I don't like the things that my mind is seeing. Right now there's tremendous discussion going on about what do we do? Why do we just continue to kick the social cans down the road instead of solving problems? And people's solution to that, their man-made solution, is to come up with more legislation and all of that, when actually the only solution to the ills of society is found in the Word of God. And that is when we put God back on his throne, when we allow his word to proclaim truth into our society, into every level of our society. But we don't want to do that. As a society, that seems to be a taboo. It's not something that can be permitted. What would happen if God's word governed our society again, and all of a sudden there would be a whole lot of things that are going on in society that we would realize those things are not beneficial. They're not beneficial at all. God is beneficial. And so David said, in the midst of all of this stuff, in the midst of all of this stuff, I'm going to trust God, I'm going to rest in the Lord, and I am going to wait patiently for him, no matter what anyone else does. Turn over a few pages and let's look at Psalm 40. Psalm 40. And verse number 1 says, again, this is a Psalm of David. I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined to me and heard my cry. He also brought me up out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my steps. He has put a new song in my mouth, praise to our God. Many will see it and fear and will trust in the Lord. Blessed is the man who makes the Lord his trust and does not respect the proud, nor such as turn aside to lies. Many, O Lord my God, are your wonderful works which you have done, and your thoughts toward us cannot be recounted to you in order. If I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered. Sacrifice and offering you did not desire. My ears you have opened. Burnt offering and sin offering you did not require. Then I said, behold, I come. In the scroll of the book it is written of me, I delight to do your will, O my God, and your laws within my heart. I have proclaimed the good news of righteousness in the great assembly. Indeed, I do not restrain my lips. O Lord, you yourself know I have not hidden your righteousness within my heart. I have declared your faithfulness and your salvation. I have not concealed your loving kindness and your truth from the great assembly. Do not withhold your tender mercies from me, O Lord. Let your loving kindness and your truth continually preserve me, for innumerable evils have surrounded me. My iniquities have overtaken me so that I am not able to look up. They are more than the hairs of my head. Therefore, my heart fails me. Be pleased, O Lord, to deliver me. O Lord, make haste to help me. Let them be ashamed and brought to mutual confusion who seek to destroy my life. Let them be driven backward and brought to dishonor who wish me evil. Let them be confounded because of their shame who say to me, aha, aha. Let all those who seek you rejoice and be glad in you. Let such as love your salvation say continually, the Lord be magnified. But I am poor and needy, yet the Lord thinks upon me. You are my help and my deliverer. Do not delay, O my God. This says, I waited patiently for the Lord. He inclined to me and he heard my cry. This is a different word. Again, we're talking about the fruit of the Spirit is patience. And what do you do when you find yourself in a pit and you need somebody to come and deliver you? I waited patiently for the Lord. Let me ask you, what else can you do when you're in a pit? You know, when you're in a pit, you got no place to go. I mean, there's only certain amount of things that you can do. I suppose you could, if you couldn't get out, you could actually dig one side deeper and kind of build up one side of it until you could hopefully get out. That would be one thing that you could do. But this word is a little bit different word. This one, is pronounced something like kava, and it means to bind together to be intertwined with and to expect. David found himself in a pit, but he said, I am bound together with God. It literally means to take two things and wrap them around one another to where when you mess with one, you have messed with the other. And you and I, we are the ones that are strengthened whenever we are bound together, intertwined with God. And he wants us to have a level of expectation. What would your day look like if all of a sudden you began to analyze that day with an expectation that God's strength was going to manifest in your life, that God's wisdom was going to manifest in your life, that God's promises were going to manifest in your life, that he was going to put words in your mouth because he's inclined to you? We talked earlier about us being inclined. Now it talks about God. He is inclined to us. He's listening to us. I don't know about you, but when I've got expectations, when I'm emotionally invested in something that I'm watching, I'm sitting on the edge of my seat. I'm actually squirming. It brings great joy to my daughters and son and wife whenever they watch me watching something because I'm integrated in the process. Listen, this is a messianic psalm here. And I want to point you to the conclusion that God thinks upon you. That's verse number 10. Even though you're poor and needy, because we are intertwined with God, because we are waiting patiently for him, that God thinks about you. He thinks about you a lot. God, you are my help and my deliverer. And then there is this last statement. Do not delay, oh my God. God is not detached from you. He's not sitting up in heaven, just completely oblivious to your existence. Before I came into the radio station today, I was looking for something. I knew I had it when I left the house this morning. I looked in my office. I didn't find it. Looked in the office manager's. I didn't find it. I went to my vehicle. Didn't find it. I went back upstairs, and I finally found it right where I should have found it in the first place. I had an expectation that I was going to find it. Today, may you wait patiently for God, become so entwined with him and realize that he wants to come without delay. Father, we wait for you today, and we look forward to you pulling everyone who listens to this broadcast out of the pit for your glory. See you next time right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.